Missionary Aviation Fellowship is. This was brought home to me a little bit today by the conversation that we've had this morning.
I think it's 160 years, isn't it?
We're actually 80 years old this year.
So we're literally
half. Twining Chapel this year. Could we move on to the slides, please? Thank you. So if we could have the first slide.
So first of all, I want to say a big thank you.
Because we can't exist without you. It's the support of hundreds of congregations across the country that support us on both a structural level and an individual level that help to enable us to do what we do. And to give you a little bit of an idea of what we do, we've just got a little video which should cover the depth of some of the things that we are involved in. It's on a special piece of software there, so we need Tom's expert help. Technical problems. We did test this morning and perfectly this morning.
For over 70 years, this is what we've been doing, getting up early to get out there and fly. What motivates me is just seeing change, being that essential lifeline that makes a huge difference around the world. We're flying every day into isolated communities where there's no road, there's no infrastructure. We're coming onto the sides of mountains, we're going into the remote bush. We're taking that life wherever we go. When we talk about flying for life, we mean it in the fullest sense of the word. It's not just about food and water and a safe place to live, but it's about health, it's about education, it's about transformation of communities and seeing them thrive, and it's about taking Jesus' love into those places.
MAF was started by a couple of World War II pilots that returned from the war. They'd been using aircraft to drop bombs, and now they could see that aircraft could be used to bring life and to bring hope. It was a very humble beginning, just one aircraft, but that aircraft was fueled by the prayers of many. We are pilots and engineers. We are IT specialists, we are administrators, we are managers, but we're so much more. We're the faithful prayer partners at home, we're the people helping raise the funds. Together we are Mission Aviation Fellowship.
I don't know yet what transformation my flights today will bring. I don't know what transformation every other flight will bring, but I know this, that for every flight we do, we are motivated by flying for life.
So if we could move on to the next slide. Thank you. So lots of people don't know, but we actually do, as Missionary Aviation Fellowship, a very wide range of different activities. Medivac is one of the large ones, and we'll see that a little bit later on. But Medivac's very important because we're flying in lots of places where it can take 3 or 4 days to reach the nearest hospital. And sometimes a missionary aviation flight is the difference between life and death. Evangelism, we do a lot of work within evangelism, not just ourselves, but also we take missionaries from all sorts of other organizations into places that would be difficult to reach otherwise. And this is a lovely picture. This is actually Papua New Guinea here. And this is a group of tribes people in Papua New Guinea that have just received a copy of 1 Corinthians. And it's been translated into their language by, I think, the Bible Society. We do community support, so helping with things like fresh water and also agriculture. We help with education, so we support schools, we fly teachers back and forth. We support, as you saw, around 2,000 other organisations to deliver the work that they deliver. And sadly, sometimes we get involved in disaster relief as well, where there's been some an earthquake or a flood, and we have to go and find supplies where it's difficult to reach by land. If we can move to the next slide. So we are actually the world's largest humanitarian airline. That's a little bit of a misnomer in some ways, because we're also the world's only humanitarian airline. And we fly around 370 passengers every day, which might not seem like a lot, but when you think we've only got little planes, you know, that's a lot of people for the planes that we have. In 2023, we flew over 6 million miles, kilometers, and a plane from MAF took off somewhere every 6 minutes. And we work with over 1,500 other organizations in 2023. And these are some of the organizations we work with. Some Christian organizations, some health organizations. You see Mercy Ships there, and I know that there are people in this area that work with Mercy Ships. We work with WaterAid, Action Hunger, Tear Fund, MedAir, Disaster Relief. So a lot of different organizations rely on MAF to deliver the support that we can deliver into their into communities in far-flung corners of the globe. And why is MAF necessary? Well, this actually is the highlands, what you're seeing here is the highlands of the Democratic Republic of Congo. And all of these pictures are from the DRC, where we have where we do active mission work. And you can see here, that's the rainy season up on the left-hand side. Many of the roads become flooded and impassable. Literally, you have communities that can be shut off for weeks because it's just impossible to reach them. Security is an issue. There you can see that there are FARC guerrillas in Democratic Republic of Congo. You know, that's a situation you want to avoid when you're traveling, if you can. And then obstacles. You can see a gentleman here with searching for mines on the road. And obviously, if you can fly over those mines, you avoid that as a problem. If we can move to the next slide. So we provide hope when no one else can reach in time. And again, this is a picture in Papua New Guinea. You can see the landing strip there. So I don't know if you can see it, but can everyone see that little strip of land? Now, I learned how to fly when I was 17. I got my pilot's license when I was 17. It was flying around here in this area. And I can tell you there's a very big difference between trying to fly and land on a nice runway in a flat area of Gloucestershire, or trying to land on something like that, where, you know, you slip up once and it's likely to be your last slip up. So this is a story about a girl called Ruth, and Ruth lives in a small village called Yankiza, in the highlands in the north of Papua New Guinea. There are no roads into her village, and the nearest town and the nearest hospital is a place called Kompiam. And the area's had, it's been a troubled region for the last, well, actually for the last 60, 70 years.
It's got very poor security, and there are many, many different tribes. And there's been a lot of tribal conflict, and over the last 20 years, there's been about 30,000 people displaced from this region because of the conflict. And it didn't used to be so bad when the conflict happened with bows and arrows and knives. But now it doesn't. It happens with automatic weapons, and that's a very, very different situation. And, well, we'll hear a little bit about Ruth's story now. There's another video there, if we pop back.
I'm going to go to the house. 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 I'm going to go to the
Finally
contacted the Shimmy Invasion Fellowship, who were able to make plane available. They rushed her to Compiègne Hospital,
where
she underwent surgery for 7 hours. She had 8 fragments of bullet removed from her belly. And thankfully, we were able to save her. And
useful. She's
So how can you help us? Well, there's a number of different ways you can help make a difference. Possibly the most important way for us is through prayers. When you join MAF as a supporter, one of the things we send out is a prayer diary. And it has prayers that you can give
us every single day.
So that's one of the ways you can help. And we really appreciate your prayers up and above anything else. You can volunteer.
So I'm a volunteer.
I give my time freely for Missionary Aviation Fellowship to come and tell people about the work that we do. But there are many other ways to volunteer as well, especially there are ways to volunteer as youth too. You can donate to us, and you know we survive on your donations. It costs us about £14 million to run the organisation per annum, and that's all provided. You can come and work with us. And we're always looking for pilots, we're always looking for engineers,
we're looking for project managers, we're looking for administration staff. So if you feel a calling to do it, that's something that we're always looking for. And finally, you can leave a legacy. And there are ways to learn how to do that. We have some information on the table or on the website as well. And we do have a current campaign. We're very concerned about malaria. Malaria, if we move on to the next slide, there should be one before that, I think. So malaria kills 249 million cases of malaria every year. Malaria is caused by an organism. A parasite, and it causes about 608,000 malaria deaths, and 3/4 of these deaths are in children under 5. So we want to try and support them. This is Vanga Hospital in the Democratic Republic of Congo, which we were talking about earlier, and I went and found a picture of Vanga Hospital. This is it, and it's out in the middle of nowhere, and they have a big problem with malaria in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and this is one of the doctors that Vanga Hospital is trying to fight the disease, trying to fight the problem. There's a video. Thank you.
Ами, доктор, это Ванга, Hospital in Western Congo. Ванга is very remote. One of the biggest challenges is malaria. Malaria is prevented, it can be treated, but it's continued to kill children in our hospital. Our beds are full, our shelves are empty. Please donate to MIF Malaria Campaign today and save a child in Vanga hospitals.
So this just will tell you a little bit about the current campaign that we have. If we can, so there are various different options there to deliver treatment kits. Malaria can be treated; it can be eliminated. It's a curable disease. It's also a preventable disease with things like malaria nets. But you know, unfortunately, these things cost money. But if you feel you want to give to this particular campaign, you can find it on our website and donate to it. If we move to the next slide and on to the next slide. Thank you. And there are other ways to get involved as well. You know, you can become a structural donator to MAF, either a one-time donation or a subscription donation, a monthly donation. And finally, you can join our discovery program. It's not costed, it's a free program. You just fill out a form and we send you information every month about things that MAF's doing around the world. And if we move on. So thank you very much for listening.
I'm going to move on just to
a couple more slides. And I'd like to go through this gospel reading, which is Matthew 25, 31 to 40. And I don't know, would somebody like to read this for us, please? Thank you. You can read it from there. It's the NIV version.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people from one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by the Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me."
Thank you. So a little bit of audience participation now. I want you all to have a little bit of a think. Can you remember an act of kindness that someone has done for you within the last 2 weeks? If you can, just put your hand up. An act of kindness that someone's done for you within the last 2 weeks. Okay, that's fantastic. Would anyone like to tell us about that act of kindness that somebody did for you? It's fantastic, isn't it?
Otherwise, I just jump in there. And then when I picked up the goods I was going to buy, they helped me down the stairs with them. So that was an act of kindness.
No, I think if we look far enough back, maybe not within the last 2 weeks, but we can all remember when someone's been kind to us. And we can all remember what it felt like when someone was kind to us, how that made us feel. And I think, you know, if we look in the Gospels, Jesus gives us a very good pattern for compassion and kindness. You know, we remember Zacchaeus up in the tree, and You know, he obviously wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to see what was going on. He wanted to see what all the fuss was about. He knew something special was happening. But Zacchaeus was the type of person that nobody would ever talk to. He was a tax collector. He seemed to be a collaborator with the Romans. He was the type of person that people would cross the street to avoid. But Jesus saw something in him. And what did Jesus do? Jesus showed him compassion and kindness. Zacchaeus, come down out of your tree. I'm going to dine with you today. And everybody must have thought when they looked at Jesus, crikey, what's he doing? He's going and he's talking to the tax collector. He's talking to the guy up in the tree that we know everybody hates. What's going on? But Jesus could see that there was something special about Zacchaeus and that Zacchaeus could be turned around. So he offered compassion and kindness. And if we move on to... thank you. I think we're all called as Christians for our first response to any situation to be compassion and kindness. You know, the world has many troubles, and that compassion and the kindness is the light that we shine in the world. It's the light that, you know, they talked about with the early Christians, the early church, why they appeared different, because they showed this compassion and kindness, not just to each other, but to everybody within the community. So it doesn't matter whether it's by service, whether it's by prayer, whether it's by your resources. We're all called to show compassion and kindness. Shall we pray? Lord and Heavenly Father, Father, I thank and praise you for the compassion and kindness of people. And I thank and praise you for the compassion and kindness that you show to us so that we can shine your light in the world. Lord, I thank you for Twining Chapel and I thank you for this congregation. I ask that you bless and keep this congregation, that you would show it your grace and your love, and you will be with them in this 160th year. We ask this in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Just stay there for a moment. Has anyone got any questions?
I don't promise to be able to answer them, but far away. The most difficult place the organisation has flown into, I think probably a lot of the places in the highlands of Papua New Guinea. I mean, yes. And you know, difficult comes in lots of different shades. So that's difficult because it's geographically difficult. You know, you're trying to land on a slope and I don't know, is anybody else here a pilot? So you'll know when you're trying to land on a slope, it's very difficult because you're trying to get the plane down on the runway and the runway's moving away from you as you're trying to land on it. It's not an easy thing to do. Plus as well, because you're up in the highlands quite frequently, you know, you'll have crosswinds. So not only are you trying to land the plane downhill, but you're also having to bring it in at an angle like this because the wind's trying to blow you away from the runway. So you have to bring it down almost on the tip of its wing and then kick it in at the last moment to get it down on the ground. And that's a very, very difficult thing to do. Then as well, you know, taking off on that a runway like that, you can imagine how difficult that is when you've got forest at the end of the runway. There's no space to get it wrong. If you get it wrong, you're into the trees. So geography is a big problem in a lot of places, but then in other places there are problems with security. Now that might not mean that you have to worry about, you know, people shooting at you, although that can be a problem in some places. It might be airfield security. So you might be trying to land on an airfield and have a herd of cows wandering across the airfield. So you have those types of problems as well. So I think probably the geographically spectacular places to try and land like that are probably the hardest, but there are a range of different problems we have to cope with.
Is your work constrained by politics, world politics, or indeed other religions, particularly Islamic
work? Always.
Yep.
Always. So the people that run the country organisations, they don't just have to be administrators, they don't just have to be storekeepers, they have to be politicians as well, because we're frequently negotiating with other organisations, we're negotiating with government, we may be negotiating with local representatives, we may be negotiating with local religions as well. So there's a wide range of different issues that we have to deal with on a daily basis.
So I know Clive has done some flying for MAF. He's a pilot. So what if somebody else wanted who wasn't a pilot? Can they volunteer?
So we're always in need of people to fulfill lots of different roles. There is an active program to train youth pilots at the moment, and there's a centre in Holland where if you have an interest in missionary aviation fellowship, you can apply, and if they take you on, they'll teach you how to fly. Then we need people in IT, we need people in administration, we need people in all sorts of different roles. So I'd advise you, if you're interested, go and take a look in the website. You don't have to, you know, be employed. You can do what I do and volunteer, and you know, give your time for free for me as well. That's always much. We're always in need of people, so that's very much appreciated too. Especially, you know, it's we need to bring more people in at the grassroots of the organisation.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that Orhan will be around afterwards if you want to. Have a chat with him after the service, and we're just having a cup of coffee. But thanks very much for coming today and sharing what MAF are doing, and also for the word on kindness.